And the words of verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The theme this morning is a question, and I ask you to consider it carefully at the outset of the meeting. The question is, what is the Lord looking for? And especially we want to think of what the Lord is looking for in our land at this time. If you think of our nation, it's very much to the fore in all that is taking place, very much to the fore in the news broadcasts. We're all conscious of the confusion, the wickedness, the great spiritual decline that there is all around us. And I want you to consider with me, men and women, what is the great need of our nation today? What is the great need of our nation at an hour of crisis such as this? I'd encourage you to ponder that question earnestly, prayerfully, in your heart, not just today, but in your own quiet times in days to come. And the answer, men and women, to that question, what is the great need of our nation? It is for men of God. The text says, I sought for a man. And I want you to think of who's actually on that search, because it's the Lord himself. God is looking. God is searching for men and for women. What a wonder that is, brethren and sisters. What a mercy. Just to think that God is pleased to use men and women. The one that created the universe. The one who is the Almighty. The one who is in need of nothing. He's looking for men and women to do his work. He's looking, even today, in Armagh City, he's looking for men and women who will forward his cause, the great cause of the gospel. And especially in the setting of this passage, God is looking for men and women among the rulers and among the leaders of a nation. Can I point out to you, whenever the text says that the Lord found none, that doesn't mean that there wasn't one godly man or woman in Judah. Because remember, if you take a little time to consider the background, Jeremiah was still there. Jeremiah was still in Judah at this time. If I understand the details aright and correctly, Jeremiah at this time was in the prison cell. So they don't mean there wasn't one godly man or woman in Judah. You think of the words, and it's always important to carefully consider what is said, the words among them. And the idea is among the leadership of the nation. The context of the passage makes that very clear. That's why it's always so important when you study the scriptures to consider any verse or any statement in the context of the chapter in which it's found. And if you think of the context, it's actually alliterated for us. If you look at the previous verses, you look there at verse 25, it talks about the prophets of the chapter, or the prophets of the land. There is a conspiracy of our prophets in the midst thereof. Come down to verse 28, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. Look as well at verse 26. It talks about the priests. Look at what it says about the priests. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Then the third group that's mentioned is the princes. Verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. So I want you to understand the context, men and women. And it is among the rulers, it is among the leaders of the nation that the Lord is saying that he found no godly men and no godly women. And what a great tragedy that is, brethren and sisters. Godly men leading the nation. Godly leaders. I want you to be in no doubt today. Fix that in your mind. Let the Lord settle it in your heart. Godly leaders is the great need of our land. in the hour in which we're found. And that's what the Lord was looking for in these words of Ezekiel's. And brethren and sisters, so should we. This ought to be our burden, the deep burden of our hearts at such a time as this. And I want to urge you, I want to urge every believer here, take this matter upon your heart. Make it a matter of earnest prayer in the days that lie ahead. I want you to think with me of the question, what sort of man is the Lord looking for? We're considering today the question, what the Lord is looking for. We've established that he's looking for godly men, godly women, especially among the leadership of the land, the leadership of the nation. But what sort of man or woman is the Lord looking for? Well, the text gives us the answer to that. Let me set it out for you. First of all, the Lord's looking for a single man. It says, I sought for a man. And the word there is in the singular. So the idea is an individual. Just one man, one woman. Remember, God doesn't need multitudes. God doesn't need large numbers in order to achieve his purposes. Do you remember the words of Jonathan to his armor bearer? There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. What encouragement to our hearts today. No restraint. The Lord's not limited. He's not limited to save, to intervene in the land, to intervene in the nation. And he's not limited to do it by many or by few. You think of Gideon, his faithful few. The Lord on that occasion used just 300 to defeat the Midianite host. So I want you to think, men and women, of the importance of one man or one woman that's faithful to God in the work of the gospel. There's an old saying, one with God is a majority. So it matters not how many are on the opposing side. So remember today what God can do, what God can accomplish through one man or one woman that is surrendered to him. And remember, there's many examples of that are found in the scriptures. Think of Noah. Noah saved the entire human race because he was faithful and obedient to the Lord. We can describe Noah as the savior of the world. We can certainly describe him in that manner as a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of David. David delivered Israel as a nation from the Philistines and from the Philistine champion Goliath. And he did it when he was just a lad. The Bible describes him as just a youth, just setting out in life. Think of Eliezer. Read down that chapter that tells you the names and the exploits of all of David's mighty men. Eliezer was one of David's mightiest men, one of his mightiest soldiers. And he slew the Philistines. He wrought a great victory to the sword cleaved to his very hand. Remember how he defended the field of lentils, the barley field? You think of the lad in the New Testament in the days of the ministry of our Lord. Two little fishes, five loaves of bread. One young lad, just a boy, like one of the lads in our Sunday school this morning. And through that young lad and what he gave to Christ, the multitudes were fed. So I want you to remember, men and women, what God can do in the life of one person, one individual. Do you remember the words of Henry Varley that D.L. Moody heard? The world is yet to see. What God can do. What God can do with one person whose life is fully, wholly, and completely consecrated to himself. And I want you to know, men and women, that is still true today, even at the beginning of the 21st century. You take that in this morning. What God can do in the life of one person. One person who is really, truly, earnestly, out and out for him. So you think of it today. What does Ulster need this morning? What does the United Kingdom need above all else? Needs a man of God. Just one, that's all it would take. Just one that was sold out to the Lord. There's a book by Oswald J. Smith, the Canadian pastor. It was through Oswald J. Smith Dr. Cook came to the Lord. The title of the book is The Man God Uses. When you think of that question, what sort of man does the Lord use? What sort of man or woman does the Lord want today? Well, the answer, men and women, is a man whose heart is right with God. Will you think of that just for a moment? A man whose heart is right with God. Is that true of you today? Is your heart right with the Lord? As you sit in this service this morning, Hanani was a seer. He was a prophet in the days of Asa the king. And this is what Hanani the seer said. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The word perfect there, it's an interesting word. The idea is a person who is wholehearted for the Lord. So that's what the Lord's looking for, men and women. He's looking for a man, he's looking for a woman whose heart is right. Their heart is right with him. A person that's living for God with all of their heart. Not a person of a certain age. Not a person of a certain position. Not a person of a certain ability. He wants those whose heart is totally surrendered to him. Can I remind you this morning, it's not great gifts that God blesses, but it's great likeness to Christ. So I put it to you this way. The heart of the question is the question of the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. Remember that today. All the nice clothes you've put on, and it's good and right to dress well for the house of God. But the Lord's not looking at your suit today. The Lord's not looking at your fashion this morning. What interests the Lord is your heart. The Lord looketh on the heart. Jeremiah said, or the Lord spoke through Jeremiah and said, I, the Lord, search the heart. It's not an interesting thing. God is searching hearts. That's why sometimes the Lord brings us through certain circumstances. He's trying us, as he did with Abraham of old. Remember that he tempted him. The New Testament teaches us that that word tempt in the Old Testament meant to try. So that's why the Lord brings us through certain circumstances. The Lord's searching your heart today, men and women. And the question is, what does he see? What does he see in your life? What does he see in your heart? Are you like David, a man after God's own heart? As the Lord looks at your heart today, are you one whose heart is perfect? Your heart is right with God? A Christian, a brother, a sister who's wholehearted, not half-hearted, wholehearted in the things of God? That's the sort of man or woman the Lord's looking for. Just one person whose heart is right with him. The second thing I'll mention is a standing man. And I'm going to get this heat down this time. There, we'll have it. A standing man. The text, look at it carefully. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. We sang the hymn this morning, George Duffield's great hymn, stand up for Jesus. Do you know, men and women, what our land is lost for today? And lost for even among the leaders of the land. And that's the context, I've emphasized that to you in the introduction this morning. What our land is lost for today is those that will take a stand for God, take a stand for truth, for righteousness, take a stand for the scriptures. Too many influenced by public opinion, too many silenced by political correctness. You think of Daniel chapter 3. Whenever the rest of the nation was on their face before Nebuchadnezzar's image, there were three men and only three that stood for God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And men and women, that's the sort of men, the sort of women, the sort of caliber and character of men and women that we need in our country in the hour in which we find ourselves. The sort of people that even when the whole nation is running after idolatry and running after sin, that you'll take your stand for God. Will you be such a man, such a woman? We'll finish the meeting in the will of the Lord with the hymn, Dare to be a Daniel. Isn't it interesting how the hymn writer framed that sentence? Dare. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone, even if you have to do it yourself. Dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. And you know, men and women, that's the resolve, the sort of resolve. Even if you have to do it yourself, on your own, to do it alone, even if no one else is prepared to stand with you, still we should stand up for Jesus. Stand for God. That's what he's looking for in the day in which we're found. What that means is that you'll need to be strong, men and women. Remember Paul's exhortation to the Ephesian Christians, be strong in the Lord. You'll not be able to stand like that, not be able to stand on your own, not be able to stand against the tide in your own strength. The hymn writer said, Duffield's words, the arm of flesh will fail you. Remember, it's very interesting, that hymn. Mr. Ting, Dudley Ting, the evangelist. It was as a result of his death that George Duffield penned those words. He penned them because of the dying words of Dudley Ting, tell them to stand up for Jesus. But he lost his arm. Dudley Ting lost his arm in a farming accident. The story's told in the front page of the third issue of the Farming in the Future leaflet. The arm of flesh, he lost his arm. So that was a reference to that in the words of the hymn writer. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. That strength, men and women, that is needed to stand alone for God, it comes by prayer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It comes by the word. Remember, the scriptures tell us we're strong through the word. It comes by the power of the Spirit. We need his might to be bold for God in this day. As well as needing to be strong, if you're going to stand for God, you need to be courageous. Courage. Courage, brother. Do not stumble, though thy way be dark and bright. It takes courage to be God's man. It takes courage to be God's woman. Courage, men and women, in an evil day. It's the sort of courage that you're not easily frightened. You're not easily intimidated. That you'll not turn back like the men of Ephraim that the psalmist spoke of, that turned back armed in the day of battle. Do you remember what the Lord said to his servant Joshua? Be strong and of a good courage. So that's the Lord's word, men and women. When you see all that's happening in our land today, this crisis hour, a crisis time for the church, the cause of the gospel, here's what the Lord would say to your heart this morning. Need to be strong. Need to be of a good courage. See how the Lord brought those two things that we've mentioned together for Joshua? One of the first, it was actually the first book Mr. Douglas took us through in the Whitfield College way back in 1987, was the book of Joshua. My first year, 32 years ago. He spent the whole year in the book of Joshua, from September right through to the end of May when the exams started. One of the first things he pointed out to us about the life of Joshua was that message, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua actually got that message 7 times. The same sermon, same word from God, 7 times over. Do you know why that is, men and women? It was a daunting undertaking to step into Moses' shoes, to lead the children of Israel and to lead them into the promised land. And the Lord knew he would need to be strong. The Lord knew he needed to have courage to do the job. So that's why he kept emphasizing, driving home to Joshua's heart, that message. It's vital today, men and women. We need to be believers that are strong. We need to be believers that have courage. to be faithful for the Lord in this day. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, the righteous are as bold as a lion. So I encourage you this morning, you pray. Pray for that boldness. Pray that you'll be fearless for God. I'd encourage you to read the life of Colonel Thomas Jackson. What a man of God he was. Thomas Jackson was a Confederate officer in the Civil War in the United States of America. In the Shenandoah Valley, the Union soldiers one day came suddenly upon the Confederate soldiers. The Confederate soldiers were in disarray because of the surprise of the attack. And General Lee looked out and he saw Thomas Jackson standing boldly, fighting, defending for the Confederacy. And he said to all of the soldiers along the line that day, "Look, look, there's Jackson standing like a stone wall." And remember that he's been known in that way from that day to this. There are very few people that know Jackson's first name, his real name, Thomas. We know him to this day as Stonewall Jackson because of his bravery, because of his courage, because of his stand as a young man. And they reckon it was because of his courage and the way that he stood that day that they actually won that battle, the first battle of Bull Run, as they called it. General Lee said that they lost the Civil War simply because they lost Stonewall Jackson. He died at a very young age. So I want to encourage you, men and women, you need to be like Thomas Jackson in the day in which we're found. You need to stand like a stone wall. That's the sort of Christian that is needed, the sort of Christian that God is looking for. Is there any like that in Armagh Free Church this Sabbath morning, standing firm for God in the heat of the great spiritual battle in which we're found? The other thing the text tells us, as we think of the sort of man, a single man, a standing man, the other thing is a supplicating man. Note the words, "and stand in the gap before me." That's a reference to prayer. It's a reference to spending time with God, spending time in his presence. Do you remember the great prophet Elijah? He said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." Elijah was a man who often got alone with God, often stood in his presence. And here's the great question, men and women, for every believer in this meeting this morning. Did you stand before God today? Did you stand before God today? I'll tell you this for a fact, that there wasn't many that stood before God in the prayer meeting. There wasn't many. Grieves my heart to say it. How much more it must grieve the heart of God. You know what that says, men and women? It says that you think that you don't need God. We don't need his blessing. We don't need his help. That's the message that goes out. You don't come to the prayer meeting, you must think we don't need the Lord to be with us. In such an hour, at such a day, as our country faces such a crisis, the prayer meeting rooms of every church in the country should be packed to capacity. Did you stand before God today, on his day? If ever there's a day in the week you should stand before God, it's this day. God's looking for men and women of prayer. Brethren and sisters, you think of Exodus 17, Moses on the hill, Joshua's in the valley, fighting against Amalek. And when Moses held up his hand in prayer, Israel prevailed. Do you know the great message and lesson that comes from that story is the importance of prayer? What was it that won the battle against Amalek that day? It wasn't Joshua's strategy. It wasn't his fighting prowess. The thing that won the battle against Amalek that day was the prayers of Moses, the prayers of God's servant. And we need to see that, men and women. Why are we not prevailing in the land? Why are we being defeated as a church? Why is it that the church of Christ has been driven back in the day in which we live? We're not interceding as we ought. Remember James's words. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, just one man, availeth much. James actually puts that in there because it's an example. It's an example, a great example of what the prayers of one man can do. Elijah's prayers affected the nation. Take that in. When he prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. In fact, it didn't rain again until Elijah prayed and asked God to do it. The prayers of Elijah affected the whole nation. So take that in, men and women. What we do in the closet in our quiet times, what we do in the prayer meetings of the church, can affect this land of ours, can turn the tide, can change this nation. Oh, I pray today. God will write that on your heart, that it will grip you as it has never done before. I stress to you this morning the need to pray, brethren and sisters. Pray continually. Not just when it's easy, not just when it's encouraging. Need to pray continually, pray persistently. The New Testament exhorts us to pray without ceasing. Not just in the good times, not just in the times of blessing. We're to pray without ceasing, even in the difficult and the trying times, even in the times of persecution, the times of great challenge. In the Old Testament, the fire on the altar, in the tabernacle, in the temple, that fire never went out. The flame ascended continually. And it should be the same with our prayers. They should be continually ascending up before our Father which is in heaven. And remember this, if you spend time with God in prayer, others will know it. It'll be evident. Moses, his face shone when he came out from the presence of God. All the camp of Israel knew that Moses had been with God. Think of the book of Acts, it says that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, the Savior, in his great Sermon on the Mount when he was preaching about prayer. He said that your Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. So if you spend time with God in prayer, if you spend time standing before God and supplicating in his presence, you'll not need to broadcast that, men and women. You'll not need to go about telling everybody about it. Your Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. Others will know it. God's presence in your life, God's blessing on your life and service, that will be your portion. So here, men and women, in this text this morning, Ezekiel 22, verse 30, there's a call to prayer. A call going out to the nation. In an hour of great sin, in an hour of great national crisis, a call going out from the Lord for prayer, prayer warriors. So the question is, what sort of response will the Lord get here in this meeting today? Will it be what is said there at the end of verse 30? When this meeting's over and the meeting's closed, and the Lord has come searching, looking for men and women whose hearts are right with him, men and women that are going to stand for God boldly, courageously, in his power and his might. As the Lord has come looking for such men and women, such believers in this gathering, will he have to go away from the meeting saying, I didn't find any. There wasn't one, not one, in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. Just in closing, think of the words in the text that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. The idea of those words is the defense wall had been breached. You remember Nehemiah building the walls of Jerusalem. He says that there was no breach. Well, here the Lord is speaking about the defenses that have been breached or broken. It means the nation's in danger. And you know, men and women, that's how it is today. That's how it is today. We need spiritual discernment to know just where our land is. Our land is in grave danger, especially grave spiritual danger. The news people talk about nothing, only political things. But our land's in grave spiritual danger today. Not a doubt about that. Our nation is actually in danger of judgment. Do you ever notice in the Bible that the word visitation is used in two different ways? The word visitation can be used of revival. That's what we're longing for, praying for. But you read carefully, especially the Old Testament. The word visitation is used of God coming in judgment. And you know, men and women, that's what our land's in danger of today. The text says that I should not destroy it. Think of that. God was thinking of the nation and their sins, thinking of the wickedness of their leaders, their spiritual, their political leaders. And it was such that the Lord was looking down and said, I'm going to have to visit this nation. I'm going to have to come in judgment and destroy this nation. How fearful that is, men and women. So the lesson, the message here is, one faithful man, one faithful woman of prayer. That's all it would take to save the nation, to save the land. It is, men and women, no matter what you hear in the news media this week, let this never go from your heart or mind. Keep this to the very fore of your thoughts. This, men and women, is the greatest need. The greatest need of Ulster. The greatest need of the United Kingdom. And I want to ask you this morning, as I close this message, will you be that man? Will you be that woman? I sought. The Lord's seeking. He's going across the land today. He's going in and out of churches and congregations just like this. And he's seeking, looking. I sought for a man. Remember, just one individual. Among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Stand before me and stand for the land. If you're a patriot, and we ought to be patriots, here's the greatest evidence of our patriotism. We stand before God for the land. There'll be a lot of standing before politicians and political leaders and all of those things, and they have their place. But we need to stand before God, men and women. He's the only one. Never forget that. It'll only be the intervention of heaven that'll save this country, as it has been in the past. He's the only one. It says that he's that stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. It's not a solemn thought that the land would get to such a stage that God himself. Remember, he's talking here about Israel, the chosen people. And they got so far away, God says, I'm going to have to come and destroy the land. And all he was looking for was one person, especially among the leaders. And he says, but I found none. May God have mercy on us. As the prophet Habakkuk said, may the Lord be pleased in wrath to remember mercy. And I pray, men and women, as we pray every Sabbath, but on this Sabbath especially, I pray the Lord will write this word and write this message upon every heart. 500